sake of the nation of DCS, so to say. And it really will be a meeting of the department and the minister, coming to brief us on exactly where they are, challenges, the proposed way forward from their side, per the request of the minister. So that will happen on the 8th, and that is where members are also then able to pose their own questions that they might have. It's really just a session where minister and her department will tell us what's happening, and we then can also use that opportunity to raise our own questions to the minister and the department based on our interactions for the past year with various stakeholders, including the department. The next week, children in conflict with the law. On the 22nd, we'll have a joint meeting with the department, with the Portfolio Committee of Justice. And that is roughly what we're going to do for the next few meetings. So it's the department today around the matters that we've raised. On the 1st, we see the department around the administration and the normal quarterly. The 8th, we see the minister and the department around an open meeting. 15th, the Jali Commission, we're changing that around. 15th, we'll deal with the department around the Jali Commission recommendations, and the 22nd, children in conflict with the law, joint meeting with the Portfolio Committee of Justice, so that members just have an idea what's happening for the month of August, for the month of June. Today, we ask the department, first of all, welcome to the department and also to our colleagues from Public Works. Thank you very much for coming. Welcome to our colleagues and friends from the media and everybody else. Welcome. Members will recall that early this year we did a site visit to various facilities, one of them being Leocorp. And what we saw at Leocorp we didn't like, specifically around the juveniles. And we've asked the department to come and talk to us around that project of Leocorp. We've asked them to come and talk to us about the proposed 4 new facilities. We know there's a process underway, so they'll just give us an update in terms of that process. They'll also give us some insight in terms of the remand detention centres. Are they building new ones? Are they refurbishing existing ones? Or are they doing both of the above? We'd recall that we've been hearing for a while that there's at least 10 new remand detention facilities that are to be erected. So they'll talk to us around that. And then the department and the colleagues from Public Works to talk to us around the service level agreements and our cooperation. So those are the agenda items that we have. Members have received presentations from the department, and I'm sure that's what we're going to be using. I'm assuming Commissioner Modise said that your systems are up and running. As soon as you guys are ready, you can go ahead. Maybe we should start on the far end and ask our colleagues from Public Works to introduce themselves again. We know each other very well by now, but just introduce yourselves again, and then we'll ask Modise to introduce his team as well. Over to you, Public Works.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Butcher Matutle. I am the acting COO of the Department of Public Works. And I have members of the team from the department here. I think as I call them, I'd just like them to indicate. I've got DDG Sasa Suban from the department.
Good morning.
I'm sure you can see the beauty next to me, members. we've got my Panini Dumani. Ms. Dumani, show up.
Morning, members.
And then we've got Mr. Paul Musala.
Thank you.
And then also have Madam Magdalene Chabalala behind him. And then we've got the Meli Tagaz Mugova. Thank you very much, Shepard. Thank you, Honorable Members.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Members of Parliament. My name is Zakaria Mudise, the Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for corrections that include facilities, correction administration, social reintegration and security. With me this morning, I'm having next to me Mr. Pico Mbambo, the Chief Director responsible for parliamentary liaison. And behind me is Mr. James Smallberger, the Regional Commissioner of the Western Cape, and next to him is Mr. Robert van Aanraad, the Deputy Commissioner responsible for facilities. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
We've got members from Public Works here, do we? Yes, I've seen at least one member from Public Works. Thank you, Chief, for coming. I'm not sure if we've invited the entire portfolio committee, so maybe your colleagues will join you shortly. But we have a joint portfolio committee of Public Works and TCS, and everybody will participate equally. Can we then, Commissioner, ask you to go ahead with whatever presentation you'd like to? We're not fussy about which one. Whatever one you feel comfortable with, you go ahead with it. And then we'll open up for questions of clarity and or discussion once you're done with your first presentation, and we'll do the same with the second, and we'll do the same with the third and the fourth.
Thank you, Chairperson, and once again, Members of Parliament. I would like to render our profound apology for the fact that our National Commissioner, Commissioner Tom Moyane, is abroad in Malaysia attending a workshop on facilities that would also assist us in trying to find a way of speeding up some of the challenges we have with our own facilities. But also, apology for the acting National Commissioner, Ms. Nonsi Kelelo-Jolingana, the CFO. At this point in time, Chairperson, we are busy with finalizing the financial statement of the department that needs to be incorporated into the annual report. So we bit a bit stretch at this point as we speak, but the team then decided that I should lead the delegation to Parliament this morning, because most importantly is that the facilities are also part of my responsibility. We would like to start, if it is in order with yourself, Chairperson, and Members of Parliament, with the four PPPs. We have structured our presentation that it flows from one topic to the other. And I would like to present to you the response that the department has on the PPPs. Starting with the introduction, just to inform and provide a purpose, that we would like to give an update on the status of progress made in the four PPPs as we speak. Chairperson, correctly, as you have said, the department is in the process of addressing overcrowding in prisons by procuring four new correctional centers through the model of PPP. And progress up to 14 February as we have it. The feasibility study was approved in 2007 September. The request for qualifications on the above tender were issued also on October 2007, and responded submitted responses on 10 December 2007. The RFQ request for qualification evaluation process commenced on the 13th of May 2008, and the National Commissioner then appointed a team of evaluation members consisting of specially selected members from the Department of Correctional Services, National Treasury, Department of Public Works, and the Transactional Advisor, and other specialists from government departments. The shortlisted bidders were announced on 30 September 2008 as per the project plan. A National Treasury approval, TARFP 2A, was received on 6 October 2008. And the final RFP issued to the bidders on the 1st of December 2008. Canada submitted their bid proposals on 29 May 2009. On assumption of the duty, our Minister Nosivima Pisan-Magula, expressed a need for a policy review, especially to determine whether the current PPP model can deliver required services without undermining the fundamental state responsibility of managing and providing public security. Therefore, a bid specification amendment process commenced on the 5th of March 2010. The outcome of several workshops, Chairperson and Members of Parliament, indicated that it was not feasible to materially change the current bid specification, and therefore the Department concluded that the current bid specifications will be amended as follows. That the private party to adopt design and operational plan to include female offenders, including those with babies, young offenders, especially the ages 18 to 25, including educational facilities, and also including our psychiatric patients, offenders. Also, that offender labor to be utilized to its maximum. A parent bid should provide for a shortened project term of between 7 and 10 years for the operational element, and facilities management and maintenance to be performed by the private party for 25 years. The above bid amendments were approved by the minister last year, October 2010. An extension of bid validity requested from bidders was also done, and all bidders granted extension of the validity to 30 October 2011. Currently, we are in the process of establishing bid evaluation committee with regard to that. What I can also inform the chairperson and members of parliament is that we are in the process of starting the process of evaluation. The national commissioner has appointed again directors, deputy director generals from the departments that I've mentioned, that is Public Works, Treasury, and also the transactional advisor, to assist with that evaluation process, which we are confident that by the end of September we'll be done with that, so that we are able to comply with the amended time frames that by the first week of November will then be in that process of having finalized the adjudication process, so that the process of negotiation with regard to the amendments that Minister requires are incorporated. Chairperson, that is the status of the PPPs at this moment in time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just before I open it up or try and summarize what you're saying, let me just take you to the last slide. You're saying all bidders granted extension of bid validity to 30th of October 2012. Is that correct, or should it be 30th of October 2011?
2011, Chairperson, I'm sorry.
2011.
Yes, we've made, sorry, Chairperson, I must apologize. Starting with the first bullet on that slide, the minister, the above bid amendments were approved by the minister in October 2010, not 2011 SD. And then, bullet number three, all bidders granted extension of bid validity to 30 October 2011, Chairperson. Thanks very much for that.
Okay, so just to summarize it then, and members will ask specific, you are saying that there were specifications put out originally. At some point, the minister looked at it and saw the need to review what was there originally, made those changes, and took it back to those bidders to consider her changes. So what we're expecting at the end of October is for those bidders to come back with their proposals on the amended vision, let's put it that way, because so they're coming back with their views on what the minister requested them to look at in terms of amending it. That's what we're looking at. And by the end of November, those that have brought back that will then be evaluated and appointed. End of November this year. That's what I'm saying. That's what we envisage. So if all those processes unfold without you very much. Members, there we have it. Let's open it up for any comment, any questions. Or forever hold your peace. Because the next time you raise this type of matter, the department will correctly say, we came to give you an update and a briefing, and you were quiet, and now you're making noises in the corridors or in the media. This is your way you make the noise if you need to make noises. I've noted Mam Gwenya. I've also noted Munir Abraham in the first round. Let's take Mam Gwenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on progress report, I don't know what page is this. On progress report, on bullet 3, it says a varied bid to provide for a short-term project of 7 to 10 years for the operation element. And the last one says facilities management and maintenance to be performed by private party for 25 years. I want a clarity here, Chairperson, that how much is going to be spent for these 25 years? And maybe before 25 years, how much is costing this bid before 25 years? And how much is going to cost the department for 25 years? I'm asking this question, Chair, because I want to see that are we losing or are we winning about this 25 years contract? Thank you, Chair.
Meneer Abraham.
Baie dankie, voorzitter. Chairperson, I don't want to be sounding like an old hag, but you know, before me is a document which is drawn up, a PowerPoint document drawn up by the Department of Correctional Services, a state department. Not a Smolanyana department, a major department. And here, Chairperson, you already alluded to it, those dates. Now, Chairperson, I don't expect a government department to come here before Parliament and present a PowerPoint document where the dates are wrong. Don't they check up what they're bringing here? Because this document is already in the parliamentary domain and it can be in the public domain as well. So, my problem is this, Chair. That if you can't even have your dates right, I mean, something has been approved in October 2011. If I wasn't present here today, I would have thought that, hell, this department has the ability to do things far in advance. The Chairperson, in heaven's name, please, before you come here, why don't you check up what you have presented is correct? This brings me to the second point, Chair. What integrity is there in this document? How much must I accept of what has been said here? How much of it happened? How much of it is true? How much of it is just something that's grasped from the air? So I'm questioning, Chairperson, the integrity of this presentation based on the fact that there are mistakes here. Yes, Mr. Modise has apologized for it. But whoever has prepared this document, hulle moet voor stok gekry word, voorzitter. We can't accept such things to appear before us. Now, Chairperson, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. I note here, Chairperson, that it is said that there was a decision made, a feasibility study was approved in September 2007. Was that approved by the two departments concerned? I would like that to be responded to. I would like to know whether the Portfolio Committee on Correction Correctional Services at that time gave its blessings to that feasibility study, which eventually led to the fact that the department decided that the route to follow is a PPP route. Then, Chairperson, in fact, I would go so far as to say that we as a committee should perhaps, in addition to committee minutes of that time, look at the reports of the Parliamentary Monitoring Group to make sure whether the Portfolio Committee was on board with these decisions or not. Then, Chairperson, yes, we are aware that there were plans to put up facilities at Leeuwkop. And there was this problem of an environmental impact study that found that there were some very rare frogs.
I'm hoping you're not going into the Leeuwkop one, because that's the second presentation.
It's part of this, Chair.
Okay.
It's part of this. Okay, fine, we can handle it in the second one. Now, Chairperson, the other thing that worries me is that there have been concerns that have been raised by the Portfolio Committee about the desirability of PPPs, especially from the financial point of view, and where we are tying up future generations into expensive, costly, long-term commitments, and whether that is really what we should be doing. Now, Chairperson, what I don't understand is that we have a debate in Parliament on the budget. In that debate, members of Parliament make certain salient points. Nowhere in this progress report is any reference made to the points that were raised on these issues in a parliamentary debate. My understanding is that the budget debate, Chairperson, is an extremely important debate. And what ought to happen is that the department, I realize, you know, some of us speak so fast that they cannot jot down everything that we say in a debate, but that they would call for the Hansards and they would go through what the members had spoken and come back to members or at least the committee and say that on these things, these are our responses. This is how we feel about these things, and back it up with facts. Now, Chairperson, this feasibility study, unfortunately, I wasn't a member of this committee at that time, but I wish to know whether it is possible, not possible. There was a study, so we want a copy of that study. We need to be properly acquainted with all the facts that led up to the decision to go this route. Because, Chairperson, I'll be dead by then, but in 25 years' time, our children will still be paying this debt. And whether it is the right route. Then, Chairperson, there were several workshops held. There's an unnumbered slide here. Several workshops were held. The outcome indicated that it was not feasible to materially change the current bid specifications. My question is, why? And what factors came out of those workshops that determined that one should not change the bid specifications at that time. And the department, however, Chairperson, decided that it wanted to either add on or change certain things, and that's on the next slide. That the private party to design, to adapt design and operational plan, blah, 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 offender labor to be utilized. My question with regard to the utilization of offender labor is where, when, how, in what capacity? necessity is offender labor to be utilized. This is just a bland statement, Chairperson. It does not give you any detail. Then, Chairperson, the very important one. I talk here a variant bid to provide for a shortened project term of 7 to 10 years for the operational element. Unpack it for us. Tell us what are going to be the pros and the cons. I mean, we are a new committee. We need to be on board. We need to know what's going on. And facilities management and maintenance to be performed by private party for 25 years. Now, Chairperson, this is the crux of our problem. We are privatizing a security facility, which to my mind in principle is wrong. A security facility should be controlled by the state, not by a private entity. And that, to my mind, Chairperson, is not the route to go. But however, before one gives a nod to these things, one must be convinced that it is totally cost-effective, and in terms of security considerations, everything would be above board. We need to know, Chair, that for the four facilities, I realize they haven't been built, but what would the guesstimated cost be? Also taking into account annual escalations over that 25-year period. All I can tell you, Chairperson, is that it will be an astronomical amount. Bearing in mind that we had built a 3,000-bed facility in Kimberley, and its operational cost is not even comparable to what we are envisaging here. Finally, Chair, for the present, I would just like to say that this is an activist parliament. And any activist parliament, Chairperson, has to act proactively. And we need to foresee what the possible consequences will be of the decisions that we make today. And I am afraid, Chairperson, nothing that I have seen before me thus far, and yet there's very sketchy information. And this is my problem, Chair. That's why I'm asking for the outcomes of the various processes that took place. What informed the final decision? If those processes, whether those processes had looked at the financial implications for the state and for the future of this country or not. So, Chairperson, I'm afraid this progress report, in a nutshell, virtually says nothing. Give us facts. We want hard, cold facts. We can only base a future plan on the basis of facts, not an airy-fairy story that we there was this variant and that there were workshops, blah, blah, blah. Tell us who were present at the workshops, what actually happened there, and give us the outcomes of those workshops. Only then, Chairperson, can I consider to even think of asking my comrades here that we should back up something like this. At the moment, Chair, I remain totally unconvinced. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. As my colleague was saying, the department, before they send the document to the committee, they must check progress report. The above bid space amendment were approved by the minister in October 2011. We are in May now. How did the minister approve this in October? I think before you come here, you must check all your documents and see the correct and the right and the wrong. Now, as he was saying, we can't accept this. The entire document is got problems. Dates are wrong. Approval is wrong. Thank you, Chairperson. I don't want to go further.
Thanks very much, Comrade Chairperson. Comrade Chairperson, I'm going to just ask two questions, and then from there, third and fourth, I'll ask after. I just find out, Chairperson, because this thing of PPP is terrible. I'm telling you. I think there is somebody behind this PPP. My question, Chairperson, I just find out new facilities in Kimberley, that prison. The total amount to build that prison is how much? And two, I just find out Mangaung and Kutama Sintumule a year, how much the government spent on that two prisons, the private prison. And before I'm going to ask the third and fourth question, I just find out know how much on those two prisons per annum. And one in Kimberley, I know it's not a private prison, but I'm trying to say I just find out the amount of build that new facilities. Thanks very much.
Thank you. I don't think you need to respond to the matter around the integrity. I think it's a point made. You just need to take it home and do the homework on it. We've raised it before. But I'm going to try and assist you here, because clearly there are matters of operations and there are matters of policy. Now, the reason why we're calling the minister in 2 weeks' time, I think, is to deal with the policy matters. If you feel like answering them, you can. But understand that some of these things will be raised when the minister is in. I don't want you to be contradicting yourself in front of the minister. Policy matters such as the outsourcing of security to private sectors. I mean, that's a policy matter. And we'll raise that with the minister. And I'm hoping that Mamelo and company will be taking note of that, so that when the minister comes, she's able to raise those things. But there's other matters that you can answer for us. Who made up the feasibility study team? I mean, that's one of the questions that were raised. Who made it up, that feasibility study team? So if you can respond to that. The cost implications, and I think that ties up to Bishop Tolo's one. The cost implications of tying the state down to 25 years for maintenance. Because that's what you're proposing, that the maintenance is for 25 years. The cost implications to the state for that maintenance. And my understanding to somebody that raised it, my understanding is that what the department is saying is that for the first 7 years, what is happening in Mangaung will happen in these four. In other words, private sector would manage and operate and do everything for 7 years. Thereafter, the department will take over the operations, and they will. That is it. So, I mean, that is my understanding on that one. And that is a matter that if you don't want to respond to, the minister can respond to, because that's a policy matter. Then there was the issue around the bid specifications that maybe you should respond to. The point that you've made somewhere here that it's maybe impossible or undesirable to change the bid specifications. I think Mr. Abram was asking the question, why is it impossible to do that? And then the offender labor, what do you mean by offender labor? Are you saying that these new facilities must be conducive to offender labor, or are you saying offender labor must be used in the construction of these facilities? I think that's the question that Mr. Abram is asking. Bishop Tolo, the cost implications I think have been asked twice. I think from when you asked for it, and somebody else also asked the question, how much do you envisage the cost of these four facilities? But just to answer your second question, Bishop Tolo, off the top of my head, my understanding is that the Kimberley facility cost us in the region of 700 to about 800 million rand at the end of the project, Kimberley.
and that for the past financial year, the two facilities, Mangaung and the one in Limpopo, cost us about 786 million rand. Because you asked the question, what was the annual? I think, Kimberly, and if I'm incorrect, you can correct me, but I think it was around 800 million rand for the Kimberley one, and it was a 700 plus operations for the two facilities this financial year. So you are now free to respond to those things. But really, I'm appealing to members to bear with the department around the policy matters. And the final one, I think the issue around was the portfolio committee on board when these decisions were taken. I think that is something that we must do, so that when we meet with the minister, we are able to answer it. It's unfair to ask these young men whether the portfolio committee was on board. I think that's homework that we will do for Cindy and ourselves in preparation to the interaction with the minister. But on all the others, Commissioner Modisa, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm accompanied by a team and our colleagues from Public Works. There are areas that I would ask for their assistance and support. However, there are also areas that I think I should be able to respond to the questions as posed by members of Parliament. Firstly, I think is to once more agree and render our apology. The PowerPoint presentation that we have prepared and that we have edited, Chairperson, would have had the amendments. And it was just unfortunate that the system was not ready as we arrived here, because the presentation that we have has been edited. Thank you very much for that. And also, Chairperson, thank you to also raise the fact that the policy matters with regard to the variances that are required by our minister would also be addressed during the engagement that you are going to have with our minister. Quite a number of variances that have been put in place. Let me try and explain some of the things that have been raised by members of Parliament. There were a number of workshops that have been arranged and which have been attended or have been done by the department with the bidders. The last one being an engagement that was done in Pretoria.
Sorry, Commissioner. Can I ask one question so that when you respond? Most of my questions have been responded to, have been asked by the members. There's one that they didn't ask that I thought was the obvious one that they should ask. Let me ask it. So that when we then engage with the response, we engage with it all. You say in your document, the shortlisted bidders were announced in September 2008. Can you tell us who were those shortlisted bidders? And whether those shortlisted bidders that were announced in 2008 are all still participating in this process as we speak now? Have some of them fallen out? Did you reopen it for new bidders? Or are we talking about the same team that bidded in 2008 that now have to change their specs and submit change specs? So who are those bidders that we're talking about? You want to raise a question, a new question? Yes, sir.
On your last slide, the last bullet there, currently in the process of establishing a bid evaluation committee. Now, what I would like to know, and I think the committee will need that, what is the policy on accepting and rejecting a bid? Why do I say that? And I think this committee should have that. Is that this is a 25-year contract. The government is going to be bidding for 25 years. And in the past, we've seen these type of contracts that civil servants are involved in those bids. They simply retire because in 25 years they can make more money. So it is very important that the committee has that policy. Civil servants and their families allowed to bid or not? that would be in the policy of accepting and rejecting a writ, as well as politicians, because this is an animal that's going to sit with this government for 25 years, and it's worth billions. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, I've heard since I came to this committee that voices raised against PPPs, and for instance, my party is pro-PPPs. But given the fact that there was workshops and to decide on this type of correctional service centers, I just want to know, we have to reach a point where we jointly decide this is the way forward. PPPs or not, we cannot go on with planning and all the things while there is very strong views against it, financially and otherwise. And we have to get to the point that we decide now, it's PPPs or not. So I just want to know from the department, which of these two options, the PPPs and these ordinary centers which we are used to, are the most viable and accommodated our needs in our environment, South African environment. And we have to have clarity around this. We cannot go and proceed with something of which the committee raised serious concerns. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Coming to the questions that have been raised by members of Parliament, especially the desirability and why was it impossible. Chairperson, when the review by the minister was brought about and incorporated, it then came to the conclusion together with the team that was there that would materially change the specifications. And as a result of that, we then decided that let us take the process forward and make the bidders aware through a negotiation discussion principle, which was achieved. The bidders, Chairperson, has indicated that they are open for negotiation, but would then require that the evaluation process be done on the basis of the original specifications that they have bidded on. Now, the material change to the specifications, Chairperson, would include, because Minister had requested, like for instance, as you said, a policy change as to who would be responsible for the security and the operation of the facility, which the department and our minister have decided that that is the responsibility of the state and cannot then be given to any other person. Now, that is going to cause a huge material change to the specifications. Now, the bidders, together with the team that was appointed to sit down and come to a conclusion, decided that we'll go ahead with the process of evaluation, and after we have done that, we'll then sit down with the teams to discuss that materiality, as well as also to indicate this is the position of the state that we are going to take this matter from. Chairperson, it would be a very important, but also would request a vigorous engagement by both the team from correctional services as well as from the bidders, which we are very much confident that we will be in a position to come to a conclusion. We will find a solution for that. With regard to offender labor, Chairperson, what we are referring here is that as we speak, offenders at the two PPP facilities that is currently existing are not being utilized to also engage in meaningful labor. That is, offenders who are going out to work and also contribute to the upliftment of the surrounding communities, like also cleaning operations and doing maintenance at some of the facilities that we have in our communities, like hospitals and schools. So we wanted that also to be incorporated, that teams of offenders from the PPPs to go out to do meaningful work, and not saying that they would be the ones that are going to be utilized to build the facilities. Chairperson, The other important question that has been raised was with regard to the 7 years and the 25 years. The 7 to 10 would mean, Chairperson, which is also an area that is going to be negotiated with the TINSIS. Yes, PPP will be responsible for the first 7 to 10 years, and then thereafter, correctional services would then take over. The current PPP, Chairperson, has that from the year 1 to 25 years, the PPP is the one that is responsible. Now, we want to change that, to cut that period to either 7 to 10 years, which we will negotiate with the bidders. The 25 years maintenance means even after the first 7 to 10 years has elapsed, the contractor would still remain responsible for the maintenance. That would be incorporated in the contract that would be signed between the state and the PPP or the contractor. Because, Chairperson, all of this is being done by our Department of Public Works as an agent that goes into all of these agreements and contracts with the contractors. So that is what we're trying to indicate there. Chairperson, the question on feasibility, yes, there is a feasibility that we can at any time cause that it is provided to the committee. We are taking note of it, and our team will ensure that we provide that. At that time of the feasibility, Chairperson, I was in Bloemfontein. And I'm not saying that I'm not responsible, but we'll also provide you with the name of the people that did that. I can only say that, Chairperson, when we have a need for a facility, we develop a business case that should be approved by the Director General of the Department. And after that approval has been done, then a feasibility study is ordered to ensure that we cover all the areas, including an environmental analysis. And once that has been done, you do determine which model are we going to use. Are we going to go a public-private partnership, or is the state going to be the one that is responsible to bring up or to construct such a facility? Once that has been decided, that needs to be informed by the cost that the state would incur to put up a facility and be responsible for everything as against that facility being constructed by a private entity. Then the department, together with public works, would then decide, we're going the PPP route or we are going to do it by our own selves. And Chairperson, that, as I'm sitting here, according to my understanding, is something that needed first to have had the go-ahead of the ministry as well as the portfolio committee on correctional services. With regard to this PPP exercise that we are updating ourselves on, Chairperson, I don't have that information, which information I will provide to the Secretariat. Chairperson, I think our team that is here and Public Works can allude to what are the costs, Kimberley, as compared to the two current PPPs. The name of the shortlisted bidder, Chairperson, before I'm sure that before we conclude today's hearing, I will be able to provide that. I'm just checking with the office to provide me who are the names of those shortlisted and what process was followed. Thank you very much.
Anybody else wants to come in from your side? Cost implications? Why are you dealing with this? Please explain to us.
Chairperson, I can report on the...
No, I'm saying yes. I'm saying, why did you do all that stuff? Just explain to us the rationale of saying that private enterprise will be responsible for maintenance of a state asset for 25 years when we have got a department called Public Works whose mandate, as I understand it, are custodians of state assets. We just need that type of understanding. Because you see, my concern comes from the point that we are saying that we need to create jobs. As government, we need to create jobs. Now, I'm not sure, maybe you guys do, because this is going to be part of the ammunition that we would use when the minister comes. The granting of maintenance of PPPs enhancing job creation,
or will job creation be enhanced by you guys doing it on your own as DPW? Or is it purely being done because it's one of the negotiating tools that we are using with the private public sector players in this game? That, look, we will play in this game. If you're going to take away the operations, at least give us the maintenance. We need to understand that, so some of us can say it's not worth the gamble, or it's not worth the compromise, or it's not worth the concessions. So our question to you is, in your own view as public workers, does it make sense to have the private sector doing the maintenance, or should you be doing the maintenance? And if you are not doing the maintenance, why do we have public works? So in your response, no, we'll get to the next set of questions later. So if you could respond to those, and also to the cost implications, I think that is what was asked. Just roughly, because I know you wouldn't have the figures with you, what are the cost implications in the PPP model versus the cost implications if we did it on our own, taking into account we just finished Kimberley recently, so we could use that as a benchmark and give us a sense of whether we think as a state we're going in the right direction. And we'll ask the minister these same questions, and we'll ask everybody else these same questions as it goes along, but we'd want your view.
Thank you, Chairperson. At the outset, I have to indicate that we haven't been also privy to the figures in terms of the new PPPs. Like indicated by Mr. Modise, DPW will form part of the specification team. The nomination request has come through formally, and a person has been seconded to the team. So therein we will also have more information, and then the information that's going to be provided, I'm sure it's going to be CC'd to us. Relevant to Kimberley Prison, we've spent thus far 353 million rand, the total cost, and the breakdowns have been provided in the previous sessions, etc. Chairperson, I think I can make a general statement relevant to PPPs. But once again...
Sorry, ma'am, just because I see people murmuring there, just to repeat it. Yeah, no, that's what you're saying. DPW is saying it costs them about, let's say, 400 million. You're saying 353, isn't it, for Kimberley? 953. Okay. All right. I thought we heard you saying 353.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
953. Okay. Whilst you're on that, Mr. Moody, is it correct to say that just for the operations of Mangaung and Limpopo, it was in the region of about 786 just for this past financial year? Is that correct? Do you have the figures? How much did it cost the state to run the two PPPs this year? My figures say to me it's about 786 million rand. That's what my figures say to me. I'm just checking with you. Do you remember it offhand, roughly?
Yes, Chairperson. I think that is the figure that was provided.
Okay. So that answers your question. 900 for Kimberley. It costs us about 758 every year to run those two. Thanks. Carry on, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. In general, PPPs are considered an expensive model. The first preference in terms of general feasibility that we undertake with the construction, what we call the classical build model that DPW undertakes. However, with that being said, the PPP competency now is with National Treasury, and they work closely with the national government departments, and the modeling, et cetera, around PPPs are done in consultation with National Treasury. Now, my understanding is that it's come about from the context that the revenue for every public facility to be built, with the normal build, is not there. That is the reality in terms of the limited revenue that we have. So this type of model is purported internationally as well, we might add, even with rural development internationally, and this phenomena is now spreading through to to Africa where PPP models are being purported due to the lack of state funds to build using the classical build model. So what actually happens, though, is it's a rigorous process that is undertaken with National Treasury, where they do TA1s to TA3s, which is feasibility studies, financing models, legal modeling, etc., before a decision is taken that this particular project then actually can enjoy PPPs. The financial models gets assessed by National Treasury, and then what they do is then to determine whether they can fund this, because the money will come from fiscus over that period of 25 years, 12 years, whatever, what is agreed upon. So that is how they do their assessment, purely being that the fiscus doesn't have adequate funding to use the classical build model. That's how it's come, but it gets monitored closely by National Treasury. So, and they actually grant approval. The support comes from DPW. We normally deploy a project officer as part of the project relevant to PPP, and where possible, the state land is used. So that cuts down on costs. And that's a general statement. Obviously, each PPP will have to be assessed. One will have to look at cost implications over the life cycle. But one, what we don't do also, we have to look at the other alternative. If there's no money for the classical build, then we have to look at the leasing option. And that model normally comes out as the most expensive model. We spend vast amount of money on lease facilities, which we don't take into consideration. If you look at the analysis between the science and technology building, the PPP that started about 8 years ago, versus the current, if we didn't build that building using the PPP route and we leased a facility, you will look at the revenue that is paid about 175 per square meter now for the particular facility that we'll own, versus the rental of about 150. It's relatively marginal. So we have to take that into consideration, because when you do a feasibility, you're looking at a build, you're looking at a lease, and you're looking at a PPP. Those are the three models one looks at. So the analysis will also be have to conclude there. The issue of maintenance is pretty much the same thing. We're sitting, and I've said this, I think, in previous committees as well. About 5 years ago, we undertook a study in terms of maintenance backlog, and then we were sitting at 25 billion rand. So the state doesn't have adequate funding, once again, in the fiscus to fund every facility that it has, and it has 75,000 buildings in total. So this is the other methodology of funding and ensuring that maintenance then does happen in facilities, and then facilities, state facilities, are sustained at a particular level. Now, one will have to then draw other conclusions to, and once again, this is a general statement, to indicate if then you go the normal route of putting this into the program, and obviously currently most buildings that are now OSH non-compliant enjoy the benefit of the 2.6 billion rand that we receive from National Treasury to fund maintenance, and this is across the 75,000 buildings again. So, case in point is that there's not adequate funding. What are the other methodologies we look at? Because we have to look at time value of money as well as the cost of an asset at a particular time when we're doing our analysis. But these are all details that are concluded by the relevant authorities at the point in time before a PPP decision gets taken. Yes, eventually does work out slightly expensive or more expensive than that is true, but in the absence of no funding and looking at the global trends, why globally is PPP being purported as something that we need to look at? Are we being conservative? So these are questions that we need. And as I said, I'm coming from a general perspective. Each PPP will have to be looked at in context and argued accordingly. Thank you.
You know, can I make a proposal here? We're meeting on the 8th. Not on the 8th, on the 1st. I'm saying to Cindy that, and Can you identify somebody from Treasury that was involved in this feasibility study so that we have this discussion on the end? You see, we're talking to people that are not financial wizards here. DPW, just to give you an example, they're not financial wizards. What are you saying to us is that, if you use the Kimberley model again, that the rationale that was used was that the state didn't have 950 million rand to build a facility if we're using the costs for Kimberley. The state didn't have that money, so the state then went the route of going to borrow that money from the private sector, 900 million rand. In return for that 900 million rand, we are paying 16 billion rand over 25 years. Now, many of these people are not financial people. I at least understand some of these things. I mean, that is why I need the guys from Treasury here. If it's going to cost me 16 billion rand to repay 900 million rand, and you stand here and you say to me that it's feasible, then you need to explain that. Because, I mean, I'm just doing it on roughly on the sums. If you take the 786 over 25 years, and even if you cut that by two, because the 786 is for two prisons, so even if you divided that by two, it's still 8 billion rand that we are paying because we borrowed 900 million rand in 2007. Now, somebody must come and say to me the cost of money in 2007 and 25 years' time makes sense. These people are not financial gurus. So somebody must come and explain that to us. And I'm suggesting that on the first, when you come and give us your admin, which is fine, we are going to invite somebody from Treasury. So please identify the people from Treasury that were the the proponents of this model, so that we can ask them some of these hard questions around that matter. I don't know if you want to respond to anything else. I just think that we need a lot more for us to lend our support to it. So I'm not sure if it's worth our while to continue discussing it. They've given us at least a synopsis of what is happening, where they're at. I'm suggesting that we pursue it further on the 6th, on the 1st. They will be here with us. We'll include Treasury. And then on the 8th, we'll be able to do the type of things, Advocate Max, that you're talking about. That from where we're sitting, Minister, we support your proposal. Or from where we're sitting, Minister, we think you need to make further cuts. I don't think we're going to resolve it in this meeting. So I'm proposing that they've given us their perspective. It's interesting, DPW, that you say that the PPP model is generally considered to be an expensive model. And for some reason, South African government is trying to force this thing through. For some reason, we're trying to force something through that everybody's kicking against. And therefore, the questions that were raised initially, whose agenda are we pushing here, becomes very critical for me. Whose agenda are we pushing becomes critical for me. But I don't know that we're going to get an answer. But certainly as politicians, we are within our rights to debate this matter, to come to a conclusion as politicians, and to pronounce on it, certainly as Parliament. We don't want you to get involved in whose agenda it is, but it becomes appropriate, the questions that are being raised by our colleague from DPW. Whose agenda is it? Who's involved in the feasibility studies? Who's giving us these figures that it's whatever? Because if it's done by those that are going to benefit from it, then we need to raise our voice against that. You cannot be the referee and the player. So those type of things that I think we need to really interrogate. My proposal, and I will allow you to wrap up, both of you, but my proposal to the committee is that let us allow them to wrap up on this matter with what they've given us so far. Let us further engage with this matter on the 1st, inviting Treasury and DPW, if one of you guys could be at that meeting, on the 1st next week, because we deal with the branch, with the department's administration and all its stuff, but we will specifically ask around the feasibility of this matter on the 1st, and then hopefully on the 8th we'll be able to make some sort of headway with the minister going forward. We'll allow you to conclude, Mr. Abram, you want to say something?
Yeah, I've just got two things that I would like to have here when they come back on the 1st. Firstly, Jay, that figure of 700 and something, which is what we contribute towards the operations of the two current PPPs, is a figure which is subject to annual increase. Now, for the remaining term, if they could work out for us and tell us what would be the amount that we would pay until the term ends in respect of each of them. Secondly...
No, but just on that one, Mr. Abram, you know, can I make a suggestion that we take the figure that we have and multiply it by 25? I'll tell you why, because it's not fair to ask the department to second guess what the inflation rate will be in 25 years. I don't know if you've got models that go up to 25 years. That's why I'm saying conservatively, if you took what we had now and multiplied it by 25 years, and you can add anything more, but I'm saying to you, even if you took that one without the escalation that you're talking about, it's still a figure that boggles the mind. I don't know that we've got a financial model that will be able to put in escalations for 25 years. Do you want to say something on that one? But you respond just now when you're wrapping up. But
second question, yes, Chair. These, shall I call it, so-called preferred bidders that you have to report to from time to time, can we be given an indication of what has been spent by the department up to now in this so-called planning and bidding process? To what extent and what amount have we spent? If we could have that as well, Chair. Because I believe that astronomical amounts have been spent up to now in this so-called planning stage and bidding stage and that sort of thing. We would like to know what it is.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. The other matter that I just wanted to highlight is that, Chair, you spoke very interestingly about the 16 billion, and we've not addressed, and you said this correctly, issues of facility management, i.e. your security, your maintenance, your cleaning, your, you know, gardening services that go along with the facility. You know, it's not there. And then the other thing is, quite often after the 25 years is a normal cycle of a building, you know, after which it requires major maintenance. Now it means by the time the state inherits that building, we own it. You know, the cost starts shooting up again of maintaining it. So it's a very, you know, these are some of the elements, you know, that must be considered when we look into the whole issue of PPP. Thank you, Chairman.
Chairperson, thank you. I think, Chairperson, by the 1st, we will also be able to provide you with the name or the short list of the bidders, also indicating to the portfolio committee what were the estimated costs by the time we started this process. Because, Chairperson, what we had that time and what we might have now are two different amounts. But we'll just provide the committee with the estimated cost at the time of conceptualization. Thank you very much, sir.
When you recommend somebody from Treasury that we should buy, somebody that is close to the city from Treasury to do that, and I'm asking you yourself that it doesn't have to be the whole team, but if you all come with all the draft, but also somebody from DCW, because the point you're raising, it will cost us so much money, and then when they walk away, we have to reinvest anyway for the cleaning up the speed. So these are the interesting things that we need to discuss. So we're asking that somebody from yourself come, and somebody from Treasury and the department, just so that we can get a sense that members may not be able to make an evaluation around the advisability.
Or otherwise, Chris, if you can wrap up on this one, and then you can move on to any other, to the next agenda item, but you can wrap up on this one if you so wish.
Chairperson, I'm very comfortable with the way forward. I think what we can now do is to go to the next presentation, which would be on the new COP juvenile facility, if it is in order with you, sir. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson and members of Parliament, just as a background, the Leeuwkop Juvenile Facility was initially part of the PPP that we also have at Leeuwkop, this facility. Now, what then happened was after feasibility, after everything had been done, as groundwork had been done at Leeuwkop, an environmental analysis report was received by the Department of Correctional Services that had indicated that that site where we wanted to put up this facility was having the area where we had some frogs which were an endangered species. The portfolio committee had been briefed on that, and a decision was then arrived by the committee and ourselves that we need to revitalize Leeuwkop Juvenile. So as we speak now, Chairperson, there is a process that is underway. But I just wanted to make members aware of what has been done in the past. The facility at Leeuwkop, Chairperson, is accommodating juvenile offenders, approximately 650 sentenced. And the Chairperson, during the visit by the committee, as I've referred, and also by our own minister, it had then been decided that we need to revitalize and actually knock down the current temporary structure that is there, as it is inhumane. Chairperson, our juvenile offenders are sitting and having their food in something like a stall, which does not protect them during inclement weather. But also the fact that the facility in itself, Chairperson, was a temporary structure that has become permanent, and which is not what we have in mind as part of our rehabilitation and incarceration process, bearing in mind what are our constitutional obligations to those that are sent for our care. So we have taken a decision that we have to once and for all do away with this temporary structure, but also, Chairperson, making sure that wherever we have these temporary structures in the country, we will also then take it upon ourselves to go to those facilities, conduct a study, a business case, a feasibility, and then go ahead with putting up such a facility, depending on what we would be having available as a budget. Currently, the Gauteng region is having three facilities which are housing sentenced children, and those facilities are at Boksburg, Leeuwkop, the one that I'm referring to, and then Mthonjeni in Bavianspoort. And here is just a breakdown of the capacity of these facilities, which is Boksburg 241, Leeuwkop 723, and Mthonjeni 640, which brings us to a total of 1,804. Chairperson, slide number 3 talks to the need. The following slide talks to the need of DCS in Gauteng to centralize the detention. What we're going to do, Chairperson, once we have put our house in order, we're going to take all of those juveniles out of Leeuwkop and incarcerate or accommodate them at one of these other two that are currently existing as we break down that unit. But is to have a centralized facility where all juveniles and children are being housed. The instance has shifted to include the 2,000 of the earmarked facility of 3,000 be allocated to the detention of sentenced children and juveniles, a unit 500 for sentenced maximum children will be provided for. But also important in that facility is to have a skills training area where woodwork, metalwork, bricklaying skills can be taught and practiced. Also a multi-purpose hall to accommodate various rehabilitation activities that are taken at the center, and importantly, a formal school in line with the norms of the Department of Education and Training. Members would remember when we visited the facility, we also went to that makeshift unit where school is being undertaken, and which is also a very bad area. The remaining 1,000 of the NVCH 3000 correctional facility that is going to be built will be utilized for the detention of adult maximum classified offenders. The centralization of the sentenced children and juvenile offenders will result in the creation of capacity at Ntonjeni and Boksburg Correctional Centers after upgrading other categories of offenders could be accommodated in. A serious need exists for the creation of offender space for the detention of maximum classified offenders in the Gauteng area, and that opportunity may be utilized as well. That space will become available once we have undertaken all of that. The Directorate facilities have conducted a feasibility study, and the need for the drafting of the human resource plan has also been provided to the component that is responsible for human resource. And as I've said, the business case has been approved by the National Commissioner, and the existing old temporary structure of Lukup Juvenile will be replaced with a new permanent structure with 3,000 beds in the format of 2,000 for sentenced children and 1,000 sentenced adult male offenders. Chairperson and members would remember that next to the existing facility, there is an area that where earthworks have been done, and it is the intention of the department to continue with that once we have done the final feasibility that would indicate how we are going to fund that. The department is of the view that we will make a recommendation that that facility be done by the state, and that facility as far as is possible, where we do have the capacity, to be also be done by our own officials and offenders. But that model would be arrived at once everything has been considered, because Chairperson, the cost implication must also be done before we can go ahead with anything. But I can assure the committee that the entire process of business case development, of environmental analysis, feasibility study, as well as approval and by the ministry, by the portfolio committee, will be done in this regard, as we're trying to avoid some of the things that we're having. We also have, Chairperson, for your information, issued an instruction that the current maintenance that is being undertaken at that facility be stopped, because we can't maintain some building that we want to put down. So once everything has been done and put in place, we will take this matter forward for speeding up, because our intention was that it should also form part, if possible, of the current four PPPs, even with a different model of implementation. Thank you, sir.
Chairperson, firstly, are we planning this facility at Leeukop departmentally? I just want to be very clear on that. Secondly, Chair, Mr. Maurice has indicated that when they close down the current or stop current structure. At Leeuwkop, the juveniles will be removed to Boksburg and to Mthonjeni. If you look at the facility at Boksburg, it houses maximum juvenile offenders, whilst the Leeuwkop currently houses medium offenders. Could they perhaps give us an explanation as to what the real plans are? Are we now going to mix them up with maximum offenders? Or are we going to have a separate facility at Boksburg to provide for them? Finally, Chair, when Mr. Modise spoke on this Leeuwkop way forward, the printed version here says the directorate facilities should conduct the feasibility. That's what the printed version of the hard copy says. But Mr. Modise, if I heard him correctly, and I must admit I'm 50% deaf, I think intimated that the feasibility has already been conducted. I just want to be sure whether it coincides with what is in the document before me. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. The time frames that you require, Chairperson, will be provided. The Honourable Member is asking the question whether the Department is planning the Leeuwkop juvenile. Chairperson, as I have said in my background, that initially, Leeuwkop juvenile was part of the PPP project as we started it. And because of the environmental analysis report that was received, that Leeuwkop juvenile project was then abandoned. And why it is important to know that was, at that time, the business case feasibility study was already developed and approved. What impacted on it negatively was the environmental analysis report that was received, and hence that has to be stopped. Now, what the department is doing was to look at the plans, the business case, and the feasibility that is currently there, and to see how that can be speeded up, because this project is long overdue. And we're not going to reinvent the wheel starting from scratch. Those areas of the studies that are still relevant will then be incorporated in some study that would be speeded up by the Directorate Facilities Management together with the regional team of Gauteng. The business case has been concluded, and the feasibility study, Chairperson, I can confirm that that feasibility study is almost at the point of being concluded, as I'm saying that we did not start it all over again. We went to it, and we had then been looking at it as to how we can speed that up, as this matter is a human rights issue now, Chairperson, the facility where these juveniles are. And then, Chairperson, the question that the Honourable Member is asking as to whether we're going to mix these juveniles. At Boksburg, Chairperson, we have different units where these juveniles are kept. What we would be doing then is the bulk of the juveniles would go to Mthonjeni, that is at Baviaanskloof, and then we'll take the others to Boksburg. And then we will demarcate the units to say, in this unit we'll have maximums, but in these other units we'll then have mediums. And we'll ensure that there is no mixing of these juveniles, especially because at Boksburg we have had quite a number of incidents where the juveniles have had their own fight amongst themselves, where others have been injured. But, Chairperson, we do have a contingency plan with regard to that, both the region and as well as the Boksburg and the Mthonjeni correctional facilities. We'll then be in a position to deal with that, This is a closely monitored exercise, and once we have put measures in place, Chairperson, we will provide the committee with the report of how we have implemented the moving of these children from Leeuwkop to Boksburg and Mthonjeni Correctional Facility. Thank you, sir.
Question was specific. Are we planning a PPP at Leeuwkop, or is it going to be a departmental project? Now, what Mr. Morisha did say is that initially it was to be a PPP. What is the department's take now? I accept the fact that you didn't reinvent the wheel. You took those reports, and based on that, you are planning a facility now, or coming to towards initiating it. But my question is it going to be a PPP, or is it going to be a departmental one? Or is that something dependent on what you finalize before you decide on?
Thanks, Chairperson. Yes, honorable member, through the Chairperson. Once we have concluded this exercise, it would then inform us as to which model we are going to undertake, because we are totally dependent on the fiscus. We are not having our own funds, and the advice that we would get from our colleagues in the other two departments would then decide what model we would then put up there, Chairperson. But as I have said, it is our intention that if we do have a budget to undertake that project, because it assists us in developing the skills of our offenders, but also ensuring that at the end of such a facility, correctional services would still be 100% in charge, as is the case with the other projects that we have that the state have put up itself and not through a PPP arrangement. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I think in terms of Leeuwkop, we need to get a clear explanation. When we go there for oversight, we have been told about this site that got frogs. And in 2007, Leeuwkop was supposed to be a center that has been built already. But because of that space that has flocks, it was said that they can't build in that place. And according to my understanding, 2007 or 8, there was a budget for Leeuwkop. Maybe if you can get a clarity, what happened about that budget? And if the department said they are going to build at the center for Leeuwkop, when are they going to build it? Or are they going to demolish that cuckoo that is there for inmates? What is going to happen? It is not clear to me, Chair. If they don't have that figures now, but Chair, I believe that we need explanation in terms of Leeuwkop. Because Leeuwkop ilokibalelwa phezu kwama center, nama center, but Leeuwkop never been built. Not even a foundation. But the budget was there. What happened with that budget? I thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you once more. The Member of Parliament is quite correct that there was a budget for Leeuwkop, Chairperson. Because of the report that I have indicated we received, then Leeuwkop was abandoned. Now, as we speak, Chairperson, after the intervention by the Portfolio Committee, by the Minister of Correctional Services, and the National Commissioner, we have taken a decision to revive the Leeuwkop So Lukov will be revived, a budget will be sought and allocated, and Lukov juvenile will be built. As to the time frames and the cost, Chairperson, at this point in time I can't indicate to you when that will be done. But I can assure the committee that that will be done in the foreseeable future. And if it is possible, we would also have had it as part of the current for PPP project, that of putting up the facilities. So I can provide the committee with the information that the Member of Parliament is seeking. We are all in agreement that the facility at Leukop is inhumane, and the sooner we all demolish it and get a better facility for our offenders, it would be better for the Department of Correctional Services. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, just, and then you can always clarify it even next week. Our understanding then is that Leukop has no opposition in terms of the need to refurbish, rebuild, or do something because of the inhumane conditions. It's now about seeking the funding. The EIA and all those problems that we had in the past, somebody was talking about frogs and so on, all those have been overcome. Is that what we are saying? So in other words, if somebody came tomorrow and said, here's R1 million, it's going to cost R1 million, we should go ahead. Are we still fighting EIAs? Are we still fighting frogs? Because we have to take a decision. Those youngsters cannot continue to be housed in a Mukuku anymore. I think that's what everybody is saying. Everybody is saying that. But we can't talk about it. We want to see action on it. So are all other considerations being covered? Is it just a financial model that is being considered? Where are we? I think that is the question that people are asking. We all agree that we need to refurbish it. What are the stumbling blocks? Is it financial? Is it financial EIA? Or what is it? If you guys can answer that one to us. Mr. Abram.
Yeah, I hear now from Comrade Winnie that there was a budget for Leukop. Okay, one accepts the other problems that came in. But my question is, at the time that we had the budget, what was the intention of the department? To construct the facility itself or to go the PPP route? Because then I wonder what the budget was there for. Thank you, Chair.
If you can't or you don't have, you can... We've been nice to you guys today. You can even bring them on next week if you want to, because I think what you're getting is that whatever you say gets recorded, whether it's mentally or in writing. And if you come back tomorrow with something else, or somebody comes with something else, it tends to make members of Parliament very, very angry. So I'd rather you guys go and work it out and not just answer for the sake of answering, because this committee has now taken it upon itself to do thorough preparations before the meeting. But if you want to respond, you may respond. If you prefer to do it on Wednesday, it's fine with us.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what we've done before the meeting is we have consulted with Public Works on this issue and the risks around the EIA and the contentions around that. But I think we will finalise our so that we have a joint submission on that issue. The likelihoods and the strategy around the EIA, but there has been strategy discussions of moving forward with the project in a similar size project, but the new project is obviously adds the school to it and the emphasis on youth, where the previous emphasis was not to have a full school compliant with education, which is now a very positive move to include the fully compliant school education at the Leukop. But we'll come back with a detailed response next week.
It's important you do that. I mean, if at the end of the day you come and you say to us you can't build a school because somebody is worried about the frogs, we need to know about that. So that we are then able to ask the question, which is the big priority in South Africa now? And I'm not saying that I'm anti-biodiversity and so on, but surely, guys, surely, we can't leave that thing open paying for rates and taxes, and the only beneficiaries of it are frogs. Nobody else is benefiting from that space that we saw there. Nobody. And I would assume that Johannesburg will be charging you for rates and taxes. If they don't, I will ask them to charge you for it, because it's part of our tax base as Joburg. But those are the realities that I think we must start looking at and asking the hard questions. Nobody's using it. We're paying rates and taxes for it. The only beneficiaries are frogs. And are we thinking correctly as South Africans if that's the route we are going? So I'm saying when you come back on Wednesday, those are the type of things that you would need to give us. Because here, we need to help you guys. And we need to help each other. I really think that, and now I speak, and I'm sure Mr. Bishop Dolo and others will also speak, but I'm abusing my power as the chairperson. We got a shock of our life at local government elections. A shock of our life. Because of lack of service delivery at a local level. I won't sit here and allow a lack of service delivery at a national level. I won't. I'd rather get you fired before I am not returned to Parliament in 2014. That's how high the stakes are, ladies and gentlemen. That's how high they are. Because people go to the polls and they vote. And we're sitting here and we're seeing these things and we don't do anything about it. And then we wonder about why is Max winning the Western Cape. I'm being very honest, and I'm saying that is the attitude that we will adopt, because we cannot go through another local government experience and get a shock 2014, and yet we have the means and all those type of things. The land is there, let's use it. If we can't use it, let's take a decision. But we can't have a situation where the youth will doi-doi because they are inhumane facilities at Leeuwkop or in Johannesburg or anywhere else. It's not going to happen on my watch or on the watch of members of parliament on the side. So when you come back on Wednesday, if you could help us there in terms of understanding it, we will push our weight in terms of assisting you to provide services. If it means fighting with people in Gauteng, Mamelo knows all the MECs in Gauteng of environment, I'm sure we'd be able to deal with them if that's where we want to go to. But I think that we need to do these things together. And Leeuwkop must be the beginning of it. Is that all right, ladies and gentlemen? Somebody wants to say something here. Did you want to talk about Leeuwkop? No. Can we then move on to remand detention? Thank you very much. Can we move to the remand detention?
Thank you, Chairperson, members of Parliament. The third area of concern that was raised or clarification was with regard to remand detention facilities, which we say RDF. Chairperson, as background, we have identified 11 dedicated remand detention facilities. And these facilities are all over the country. At the Gauteng region, it is at Boksburg, Johannesburg Medium A, Moda B, and the Pretoria Local Correctional Center. In the Eastern Cape, Chairperson and Members of Parliament, the St. Albans Medium A Correctional Facility and the Mthatha Medium A. In KwaZulu-Natal, Devon Westville Medium A Correctional Facility and the facility at Maritzburg. In the region of Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, we have the Potchefstroom Correctional Facility. In the Free State Northern Cape region, Grootvlei Medium A. And in the Western Cape, we have the Portsmouth Medium A and the Portsmouth Maxima. Those are the facilities where we are accommodating our remand offenders. The department has prepared a strategy to roll out the 11 remand detention facilities, I think mostly as a result of the budget, but also the fact that we also have to identify what are we doing with those that are sentenced, where do we take them. The procurement route needs to be determined based on the regulations of Treasury, that's with regard to budget. At this point in time, as we speak, Chairperson, the Potchefstroom remand detention facility is the first project that we are currently upgrading. That facility has an official bed space of 867, where we have, as we speak, 54 sentenced female offenders and one remandee awaiting trial detainee. As we undertake that project, the females would be moved to Klerksdorp PPP once that has been completed, and then the sentenced offenders, which would be 157, and then perimeter fence to be upgraded and security fence to be extended to include the new buildings. That is the scope of the project that we are undertaking at Potchefstroom. Now, the next slide, Chairperson, talks to the program. The perimeter fencing, which has a starting period of January 2012 and completion in March 2012. And the responsibility there is the National Department of Public Works, where Correctional Services will provide the funding. The construction of phase one, that is the new logistical maintenance and vehicle park, a new area for visitors and admissions and transit units. This is currently under construction, and the envisaged completion date is November 2011. And that is being undertaken by the National Department of Public Works. Phase two, the visiting area, the transit and admission. The starting date is January 2012. Completion is August 2012. And the National Department of Public Works to procure correctional services, supply detail needs and requirements, as well as funding. The next stage would be the replacement of the kitchen floor, existing ramp. We're having an existing ramp as we speak, Chairperson, on site. And we are envisaging that the completion would be in November 2011. And that is being undertaken by the Department of Public Works. Phase three and phase four, upgrade of existing center inside a new housing unit for sentenced offenders. An upgrade of facility. What is that? That would start in May 2012, and it is a project that we envisage to be completed in 24 months, and the National Department of Public Works to procure, and DCS would supply the needs, requirements, as well as the funding. This is now the overview, a joint project between the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. Public Works and Correctional Services are all involved in a project to provide video conferencing that will allow remand detainees to be remanded into further custody without the requirement of them being physically transported to our relevant courts. Both the occupants of the courts and remand detainees at the correctional centers will be able to communicate both verbally and visually in order to remand court matters that will be carried out. Magistrate courts and DCS correctional centers are currently being refurbished with regard to the putting up of communication lines and also video conferencing equipment that is also being installed to enable this. The status quo is as follows on all these correctional centers that have been identified to be accommodating our waiting trial detainees. The progress, the video postponement project involves the rollout of the solution to 22 correctional facilities and 47 courts. The project started in 2008. The following facilities installation have been completed: Portsmore Youth Center, Portsmore Maximum, Goodwood, Allendale, Bethal, Pietermaritzburg, Ladysmith in KwaZulu-Natal, Johannesburg, Krugersdorp, Pretoria Local, Vereeniging. Nelspruit, Kronstadt, Kimberley and Bloemfontein. They are currently not operational as DCS is reliant on the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development for telephone cables, VPN lines in certain instances. This is that currently being undertaken in order to ensure that the refurbishment is up to the required standard. The Pretoria Local Remand Detention Facility was since September 2009 operational and serving the Pretoria Magistrate Court. A fire that occurred in the court in 2010, and this led to the discontinuation of that technology. Although 12 correctional centers and the courts that are linked to have had a refurbishment, equipment installation and telecom communications lines installed, the Department of Justice is still in the process of training their own court staff and the procedures and duties of relevant staff. The implementation of five court live court proceedings can only begin once the training has been completed. In the interim, Correctional Services has requested Justice to provide tentative dates on when the latter department will be ready for the live court proceedings. Mthatha is behind schedule. The appointed contractor never started with the refurbishment. A new contractor has been appointed and refurbishment of the court is underway. Telecom lines at Toyando, Modabi and Boksburg were stolen, and that is happening on a regular basis, and Telecom does not want to replace the cables as the cost is high. Actually, there's a suggestion that we install a radio link to ensure connectivity. Training will now take place during April to July 2011 to accommodate the trainers as well as the users. These delays and refurbishments have delayed the entire process. Chairperson.
Any comments, questions, clarity seeking, Advocate Max, and then Mam Nyanda, and then Mam Gwenya, and then Mr. Abraham.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to know with regards to Mthatha, that the appointed contractor never started with the refurbishment. That first contractor, was there any payment done to that particular contract, and if so, how much, and what is going to be done to recover it if there was any payment? Thank
you. Thank you, Chairperson. In the 2008 and 9 annual report on page 52, DCF indicated that virtually courts were only operating in two correctional centers, which are Devon Westville, St. Albans. Now, in the slide 13 of this presentation, you did not mention these two facilities. Why? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, one, maybe I'll make a follow-up on Mthatha in terms of the contract that was appointed and never started. Now, Chair, I want to know that the department need to indicate in this contract that was paid, and if it was paid, how much, and what are the reasons, because he never started with the project. And Chair, I also want to know from the department that what measures did they take against this contract, if any. My second question, Chair, is on the video postponement in terms of the remand detainees in correctional centers. I want to know, Chair, that what about the sentence offenders who have outstanding court cases to attend? Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, this Potchefstroom RDF. Bullet number 4, females to be moved to Klerksdorp PPP on completion. Factually, this is not correct, because I'm not aware of a PPP that's going to be erected there. It's still all in the air. The document must be factually correct. Chair, the next one, RDF's a table of the start of construction and completions of projects. The last one, NDPW to procure DCS supply detail needs, requirements and funding. Now, what sort of procurement is this one going to be? Is it going to be a departmental procurement, or is there something else involved? And I ask this question advisedly, Chairperson, because, you know, things are not very clear here. You know, it might be something else, so I just want to be sure what it is. Then, Chair, again, you know, regarding the fact that the departmental document must not contain mistakes, I don't know whether the department has been involved in the changing of place names. Kimberley, as I have known since my childhood, is spelled with an L-E-Y. And in the next one, Chair, that business of a fire occurred at the courts. Chair, what I'm saying is that, you know, if I give this to one of my grandchildren to read, they will turn around and tell me, but, you know, Grandpa, is this how poor the department is when they've got to report facts? So let us please pay attention that documents emanating from the state must be factually correct. Finally, Chair, this thing about the contractor that Advocate Max referred to, I would like to know, Chair, that in having had to appoint another contractor, firstly, you will probably respond to Advocate Max's question. My argument is, fine, you apparently, this person may have tendered, whoever the contractor is, at a certain figure. The person did not start with a job. On what basis did you grant the person a contract approve of the tender? And then, Chair, were there any deposits to be paid by this tenderer? Is there any provision that having not started it on time means that you had to go to another contractor? I would like to know what is the difference in the values of the contract for the same work, and what was the time lapse? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question based on the Toyando, Mojabi, and Boksburg telecom line was stolen regular. I've been to Toyando. I've seen the center. I don't know which side these lines were stolen. And last we had a department presenting to us that the kitchen somewhere in Kimberley or Bloemfontein, things were stolen inside. And how come? Who's monitoring all these things that they can be stolen? I can understand outside, but inside the center that these things are stolen, I can't understand it, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start with Mthatha. Chairperson, the contractor that was appointed at Mthatha did not start the work. Now, once a contractor has been appointed, then a process that would require the consideration of other contractors so that we can take forward the work. That was done with regard to this contract, and that other contractor has been appointed who is not currently doing the work. I can assure the committee that the other contractor that didn't start work has not been paid a cent, and the process with that would also be to undertake a process of blacklisting such a contractor. So that process, Chairperson, I cannot attest to how far that went, but
That is the correct way of doing it, because once the contractor has done either surely work or did not do what was expected, that process must be undertaken. It needs to kick in. Chairperson, the video arraignment exercise, once in full swing, would mean that we would also avail it to sentence offenders who are further charges, especially where it is the court's intention to just postpone. But for the actual hearing of cases, that would still be done at the established court. With regard to Potchefstroom, Chairperson, in the slide it's indicated that once the PPP at Klerksdorp has been done and we have moved offenders there, the female offenders will be moved there. As is the case as we speak, these female offenders are at Potchefstroom and will be kept there up until we have that accommodation ready for them. And it is correctly stated that once that has been completed. Chairperson, the name change? No, we're not changing the name of Kimberley. Actually, yes, there's been typographical errors with regard to the spelling of Kimberley and the fire at the Pretoria Court. Thanks for reminding us to do the editing. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've mentioned the contract. Some of the theft of cabling that is taking place, Chairperson, you'll find that it happens outside of our facilities. And here I'm mentioning the one that I know of at Modabi, where there has not been any person guarding that. And it is not happening within the facility. With regard to Toyando, Chairperson, I cannot say anything there other than to say that we'll follow that up and make sure that we provided a response in with regard to the question and the concern that is being raised by the Member of Parliament. There are one question that I have not responded to that talks to Durban and St. Albans, which they are not mentioned here. I would like to just check on my notes and then respond to it before we adjourn here, Chairperson.
Mr. Abraham? Chair, with all due respect, you know, this question on this contract has not been responded to. What we want to know specifically, Chair, this is to obviate future problems. You appointed a contractor. The contractor did not commence with the work. You then had to go through the process and appoint another one. I'm sure that due process was followed, whatever the regulations are in terms of calling for tenders, etc., etc. There must have been some increase in the costs. Furthermore, Chair, what we are accustomed to hearing is that a contractor is given funding up front, the guy goes and buys the necessary machinery and what have you, doesn't do the job and he's gone. Okay, you blacklist him, but at what cost? Did you work out what is the difference in not having had the job done and having had to appoint another contractor? You see, Chair, I might sound petty. Question is that you lose, for argument's sake, 50,000 on this one and you lose 100,000 on that one. Put all those amounts together, how many poor people would have had houses for those amounts? And I come from a school where my parents were very poor. My pocket money at school was a tiki. Now here we are allowing funds, Chairperson, just to dissipate. What sort of control measures have we got in place? The question here, Chairperson, is what was the difference in the two contracts? Did we give this person anything up front? Mr. Modise has said no. I have my problems with that. I want to know exactly, Chair, because otherwise I'll ask a parliamentary question. I need to know exactly what transpired. And what measures are we putting in place that there is not a recurrence of this kind of thing? Did you look at the track record of this appointed contractor? Did you check up whether the contractor has completed jobs elsewhere before you go and give a job to a contractor? We are not a charitable institution, Chair. We need to see that things are done on business principles. Would we, Chairperson, if it was our own money and it was a job that we wanted to have done, would we allow such a thing to happen? We should have the same respect for public funds before we allow this kind of thing to take place. Thank you, Chair.
Can we ask the department to give us that response in writing? I'm not sure whose responsibility is it to appoint contractors, whether you decentralize it or if it's centrally held. Can we just have a detailed report about them, Tata one? We appointed Vincent, didn't qualify, we appointed John. No cost, just give it to us in writing so that members feel that they can refer to it if they need to refer to it. And if you could bring that along with you on Monday at the absolute latest, if you have it available before Monday, it's fine, but on Monday at the absolute latest. Just one more question from my side. on all these things, you know, where you have remand detention facilities, for instance, where you say Boksburg in Gauteng, is that a section of Boksburg or is that the entire Boksburg that we're talking about? I mean, that's the first question. Are we saying in all these, because in others you're very specific, you say Durban Medium A. So I'm assuming the entire Medium A, when we go and visit at some point in time, will only be remand detainees stroke awaiting trial in the old language type of thing. The other question that I'm asking, you know, we've just passed the Correctional Matters Amendment Bill. And there we spoke very strongly about the separation of first-timers from hardened and so on. When we are building these facilities, are we taking that into consideration? Or do all awaiting trial or remand detainees or whatever you want to call them, are they all just going to come into this facility? Or are we having a way of saying, look, these might have to be separated from the others? Because that's the law now, by the way. That's the law. So when you do these facilities, are we going to go there next year and then find that the law that we've just passed last week is being broken because we never thought about it? So when we go through this remand detention things, are you making any provisions for that? Vulnerable people, first timers, and those type of things. Otherwise, we've wasted our time in passing that law. Any comments on those things?
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the remand detention legislation that has just passed the portfolio committee stage, Chairperson, is to cause that the white paper and regulations are implemented to the letter. And that talks to identification of the kind of offender that we have. That would also go along with the processes at our South African police services that would assist us in classifying these offenders. There are those offenders that are petty offenders, first-time offenders that we have to separate from your hardened criminal. And we will incarcerate and accommodate them separately. But there are those categories of offenders that we cannot mix with others, that we might be required to incarcerate separately. And here we're referring to some of the offenders that are well known in our country, who go from one place to the other committing serious crimes. And that, Chairperson, is aimed at assisting the Department of Correctional Services in identifying and incarcerating correctly. On top of that, Chairperson, we also talking of uniform for awaiting trial detainees, which once approved and a budget be provided, we will also put in place. Because, Chairperson, experience has taught us that these people, once they escape from our facilities, something that we are now working on vigorously, because it happened, like for instance the Harry Smith, they just climb over our fences and join the people in the street where identification will be difficult. But once they have a uniform, that will assist us a great deal in identifying them. But I can safely say here in Parliament that we will have a classification exercise with regard to all these offenders that are coming to our facilities. Proper identification and the proper classification and referral to those facilities that would then be in a position to hold these offenders. Chairperson, with regard to Boksburg, I think my colleague, Mr. Smallberger, might be able to help me in this regard because I don't have the information here. But it was just saying Boksburg, whether we're talking here of the entire facility or are we talking about the unit. What I can safely say is that at some of these facilities where we would be having only remand detention offenders, we will also have a need to have sentenced offenders that would then be preparing food for these awaiting trial detainees, offenders that have been tested and offenders that have undergone food preparation and handling courses, so as to be able to provide food for the awaiting trial detainees. But I can ask my colleague maybe to assist me with, are we talking here of the entire unit or a unit, or a section of the facility? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The consideration for Boksburg is just a section because we do have the workshops there and you need sentenced offenders to be continued to enjoy that development and that. So currently it's just a section. So it's supposed to be Boksburg medium because the other part is Boksburg juvenile. Thank you, Chair.
Just on that one, can you guys just for our own purposes, and it can happen on Wednesday as well, just give us a list of which facilities are going to be exclusively awaiting trial, so that we know that these five, at any time that I go there, can only have awaiting trial people. And others, yes, if there's awaiting trial and sentenced people, then we know about it. But we just need to know, if you can give that to us, that of the 10, these five, you'll find nobody else. In these other five, they aren't going to be housed in Unit A or in Block B, or, just so that we have a clear definition on paper of where we can find awaiting trials if we needed to do a spot check. And if you haven't thought about it, we would need it at some point, but if you have it by Wednesday, if we can, I mean by next week, Monday, if we could have that. Are we all right on the side? May we move on? Thank you very much. Unless you have comments to make on a waiting trial, otherwise we can move on to the last agenda item.
Thanks, Chairperson. With your permission, we can go to the last item. Chairperson, the last item talks to the service level agreement between the Department of Correctional Services and the National Department of Public Works. Here we are indicating what is progress that has been achieved and what is there that still has to be attended on. The service level agreement has been signed by our National Commissioner, Mr. Tom Moyane, and has been submitted to the Department of Public Works for consideration and signature by the Acting Director General. It included the revision to limit alternative service provider to IDT following meetings that have been conducted with the National Department of Public Works. And my colleagues would come here to give us the status because we are informed that the service level agreement is now with their legal services. That is the latest that we had. But I can assure the committee that between the Department of Correctional Services and the Public Works, there is a very close relationship and cooperation, and matters have been discussed by our DGs and those that are reporting to them. We have worked on our relationship, and I think also importantly as to the role of public works in ensuring that the work that is being done at our facilities would be quality work, where we would be monitoring and ensuring that we do get quality service for the budget that is being provided to them to do all of the activities that we want them to undertake for us. That is plant maintenance as well as the acquisition of buildings for the Department of Correctional Services. Chairperson, I would like to request my colleague from the Department of Public Works to maybe take this forward. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members and colleagues. Chairperson, I think at this point I must just indicate that the matter yes, is in the hands of our legal team, but we regret the delay. I think it's unfortunate that you know, it has delayed so badly because we are the originators of the contract. So we should have ensured that we expedite signing. And it's a month and a half now, and I think I can make a commitment here as leader of the team of the department that that contract you know, would be finalized before end of this month.
All right. Let me kickstart. I don't know if members have looked at it. You know, when we started pushing for this thing late last year, because we began to see the problems in our oversight visits around things like late billing. And I'm now happy to see that on page 18, you talk about billing. But you know, when reading this thing, it says that the user department must pay within 30 days, which I agree with. But I'm not sure if you're saying that you will bill the department quarterly or when will you, because that is the fight that we have. We always ask the department, why have you got underspending? They say, well, no, we've got a few bills from public work that are outstanding, have not been presented. I agree that they must pay it within 30 days. If you can indicate to us, I mean, my own reading of this thing was not very clear. It sounds almost, if you take that 5.2, for instance, it says, DPW must provide the user department with accurate detailed budget information, submissions, and quarterly invoices for accommodation and so on. So, what is your billing service level agreement? That's the first thing. It's no use us having this SLA signed if it's not going to address our specific concerns. Our concerns are that we're not billing them on time. Everywhere we went to, they said to us, no, we have this because we're waiting for public works to send us our invoices. So if you could just respond to that or address that in your SLA, please, at some point. The second one was the, you know, there was always a lack of clarity on, if I could call it budget for small maintenance. We'd go somewhere and people will say, we can't fix up the tap because public works hasn't arrived. And public works will turn around and say, no, but these guys have got a 20,000 per annum or 20,000 per month to fix it up. You know, those small maintenance. It was always a gray area. And when we were arguing for this service level agreement, it was to address that gray area. Who is responsible for the toilet that is not flushing, for the tap that is running, for the window that is broken? If DCS say to us, well, it's running because public works hasn't come, we need to be able to say, but no, you've got a budget for it. So that's the second one. And then the final one in reading this one, if you can go to page 19, I was not sure, you know, towards the end of page 19, I welcome the fact that you'll be notified about electronic doors not working and so on, 24 hours notification and so on. Are we saying there that if public works phoned you, not public works, if the user phoned you today about a freezer that is burnt out or whatever, you are making a commitment that within 24 hours you'll have it repaired, fixed up, or what are you saying? Because if that's your commitment and it doesn't happen, then I'm going to ask Public Works why, I mean, I'm going to ask DCS, why are they not sanctioning your penalty, having penalties? Because That's what the service level agreement is about. You don't, on your side, you get penalized or that type of thing. So on that last one, what is it exactly that you're saying? And I know it's not your document, but I'm saying in signing your document, maybe you would need to just clarify that with us. If they give you notification, is it realistic to say within 24 hours your broilers and abattoirs will be fixed up, your forced ventilation would be working and so on? What does it really mean? Because we will hold you to the service level agreement, whether you're DCS or whether you're public works. And I'm saying these are just my initial comments that I think you would need to look at that. But for us, important is that billing must happen on time, because it has the effect of rollovers at year end. And I agree that they must pay you within 30 days of it. And then the small budget. Exactly who is responsible for fixing a leaking tap? Must these guys wait for a whole week for you to come out when they've got warm bodies and they should be fixing that tap? And if it means you must pay them for fixing the tap because you are responsible for it. But I just think we need to streamline the way we're doing business. That was our motivation for service level agreements. I don't know if you want to comment or if you can consider those things. So when we get a document that is duly signed by both parties, that those things have been covered. Otherwise, it's not worth the paper it's written on. If you guys wish to comment, you may comment. Otherwise, we are happy with this first draft, but we'll await this final signed document.
Honourable Chairperson and members, no, thank you. I think there's valid questions that have been raised. In terms of the billing, it is done on a quarterly basis. DPW doesn't have systems that can absorb monthly billings at the moment. Further to that, the CFO has CFO forums, etc., where relationships with DCS and other client departments have improved tremendously. So this is going much smoother than it was, and we can indicate at the next meeting in terms of what's outstanding and what are the issues. I will engage with the CFO, but in terms of her feedback, there's nothing really for DCS. I think we are on par relevant to billing, but I will verify that. But we're also in the process of improving our systems. Our systems are a problem in the department, so we are looking at that with the assistance of the acting COO. From the meetings that we've been and the engagements with the portfolio committee, we've upped the day-to-day budget that was devolved to the client was 30,000. We've upped DCS limit to 100,000. We'll embody it either as an amendment to this document, an addendum. Yes, we will. Per month. Yeah, per item. Sorry, per item. Yeah. Sorry, per item.
100,000. So anything that is less than 100,000, they should go and fix it up.
That's right. Yeah.
They
have the money within their budgets. They budget for it in the MTEC, etc. And we don't bill them for these items. Okay, it's within their budget.
So we understand that. So nobody can say that the staff is not working for no
yes.
budget.
Yes.
Because these are not coming to
it. Yes, and it's a policy document that has been drafted. And it's gone through. It's in effect now for about 6-7 months? Or 8 months? Okay. It's about 6-7 months in implementation. And then relevant to the emergency, the day-to-day emergency issues, we've tried within our own processes as well to improve on that, so that when the emergency, as these items were categorized here, we categorize as emergency, and we have put processes in place to respond within 24 hours. So all things being equal, and whether we can fix the particular emergency or defect or item within 24 hours, we will do so. But we've put processes, with business processes, response processes, etc., to align to the 24 hours.
I take it that this document was drafted by people with much more superior knowledge than the limited knowledge I have. But Chairperson, I'm worried. When I look I only took a cursory look at this document. What we hear is that our commissioner has already signed it. But the language in your chairperson is absolutely poor. I don't know whether they were real lawyers or whether they were ama igwet. I don't know. I want to mention one or two things, Chair. It says here, generators not working when they are supposed to be used. I don't know. I don't know, Chair. What made those generators not work? It should state something else, Chair. But, Chair, what worries me here is it talks here of broilers and abattoirs. Now, I don't know how NDPW are going to fix up broilers. Broilers, Chairperson, are chickens that are almost ready for slaughter. That's a broiler. I understand if you talk of a boiler, you know, that's something else. That needs to be fixed. I don't know how you are going to fix up a chicken that is not working. So, Jay, I don't know. I don't know. And if we had appointed outside lawyers, Chair, I think they could have done far better than this. I look at this language, Chair. I've read many legal agreements in my lifetime, contracts and things. This is not the sort of language you expect from it. I'm just mentioning it, Chair, but I would like to know what broilers do you expect the department to see that it is. NDW must DPW must repair if there's something wrong with it. Which broiler? Because broilers, Chair, I repeat, are chickens. Something wrong with them, they must be, you must get a vet to inject them or whatever. NDPW can't fix them up, Chair.
Alright, you'll answer that question, but just so that we are all clear from our side, and DCW, that you're also clear in terms of the intention. I mean, our biggest fight over and above these emergencies that you were talking about were the real day-to-day stuff, you know, the broken window, the broken door, the leaking tap, or the toilet that doesn't flush and those type of things. Those are our real, because those are the ones that have a direct impact on the humane detention of people in the main. Our common understanding here is that really is now the domain of public works. I mean, of correctional services. Is that what we are saying? Is that what we are saying? I'm saying things like fixing up toilets, taps, washers, not the emergencies, I understand them, but all those other things that make life a living hell in there really are the responsibility of correctional services on a day-to-day basis. That's your understanding as public works. And correctional services, that's also your understanding. Is that also your understanding? Around those matters. Because when we do our oversight, at least we must be able to say, no, on this one, you've got the money for it. We're not accepting it if they are not working, and you say to us, DPW, just so that members of parliament here understand, the bigger matters, we agree, is a public works matter, and it must be done as soon as possible. But surely, we can't get to Rustenburg and find a flooding toilet, or a shower that is not working anymore, because that is your baby and it's your responsibility. That is the principle in which we're doing this. All right, that's my understanding. I don't know if you want to respond to Mr. Abraham's questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, it's been noted, these are new insertions, and that's why I'm saying the legal services, they're in the process of looking at the document and the completed document, which must be signed by our department, but these are new insertions by DCS, but we will look at it in context, and we will engage relevant to the broilers issue, whether it's an installation that perhaps we need to look at here for the chicken. So
I can't open it. For instance, this thing about the small thing, for us we run in the paper, they say it's now 100,000 budget, and it's probably, I mean, DCS is responsible for this. So that is another thing. Buildings will be done quarterly, other words, if there's a road over, you should be able to tie that road over to the last portion of work done, and not to the 2 years or 3 years of work done. If you can clarify the number, I'd be really happy for all of that. I don't know if you guys have made any responses. Yes, sir?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chair, maybe the department also, they must give us a clarity in terms of this maintenance. Because if I may remember, what makes us to meet with a DPW, it was the challenge that we are facing when we go to oversight. All our centers, when you enter there, the taps are leaking, the shower are leaking, the windows is broken. And when we ask the department, why is like this, they will tell you that this is not our responsibility. It's the responsibility of a DPW. So now, today, we are together. We experience now that somebody is not telling us the truth. The department never even tell us that there's the allocation that is coming from the DPW for maintenance. We found that when we go to LOGOP, when we find that the boiler is not working, the stove is not working, then they told us that, no, these people, we gave them about 30,000 to fix some things, but the department never say anything about that. So, Chair, I'm saying this because we want the department to be clear to us about that budget that they get from the DPW. For example, at the Kutama, they will tell you that when the tap is broken, it's fixed immediately. But the challenge that we're facing when we go to oversight, you'll find that this tap is more than 6 months or a year. It's not fixed. What is the department doing about this budget that they get from them, Chair? It's worrying us. Even today, if we can go to Johannesburg Center, you'll find taps leaking. Even today, you can take a flight right now to Johannesburg Prison. This thing doesn't get finished, Chair. We talk about it here, but it doesn't happen. It's a deliver that the people want. If we can't deliver just the minor things, it's a problem to the community. And we're talking about healthy. You'll find the inmate sleeping at the shower in Johannesburg Prison. And it's leaking. What do we mean about this maintenance? What do we mean? Why there is a budget for the maintenance and that budget is not used to do what is supposed to be used? So the department also is owing us, Chair, an explanation. Let's say maybe balungisile ipompi. Bashukuthi this month we have done 1, 2, 3 with the budget that we are using for maintenance. Because it doesn't appear anywhere in their document. I think it's
all right. You will wrap it up, both of you, and have an opportunity to wrap up. Let's start with DPA, and then we'll go to DPW, and then you'll go to the meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we fully agree, and we've actually alerted all the responsible in the regions to their responsibilities in terms of the basic services, like leaking taps. There's no doubt about basic services. And we also emphasize the appropriate allocation of budgets towards funding, because we noted when we were at Rustenburg that there was low allocations at the time. So that issues have been stressed. I think there was a 50,000 allocation. Now it's being looked at as 100,000, which obviously allows scope. But I think there needs to be understanding that there's certain work. If you don't have an electrician at the facility, you cannot do that work yourself. There's certain compliance issues and specialized installations. Although it might be a lot less than 100,000, the expectation shouldn't be that we have people that are not specialized. So we have got limitations in terms of artisans in the department. I think what is being highlighted here, and with the increase of the 100,000, that there's a justification to actually for the department to increase the capacity to respond to the needs. Currently, there is definitely a serious shortfall, and we're aware, we've been trying to emphasize, but it's a difficult period for us to source artisans. So there is a challenge there that needs to be noted, but we're fully aware, and there's no excuse about leaking taps and broken glass. That has been clearly identified, and we'll obviously work together. But I want to emphasize that if something is just under 100,000 now, that doesn't mean we've got the capacity of complicated issues to fix stoves that might be electrical or boilers or things like that. So I just wanted to give perspective on that issue. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. For us, is to appreciate the opportunity that has been provided to us to come and make these presentations to Honourable Chairperson and Members of Parliament. We have taken note of your concerns and also the request for further information that the team has taken note of, and we will provide that duly to yourselves. We will also make sure that in the next engagement the department is represented properly. We can only thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. I will just want to indicate, I will concur with what Mr. Van Andert has indicated. The policy also indicates that relevant to mechanical installations and electrical installations and specialised work, that must be undertaken by DPW. So I want to go back to what you indicated, that the 100,000 rand per person must be used for day-to-day items such as leaking toilets, broken taps, window panes, door handles, door knobs, and other consumables like light bulbs, etc. The specialized installations will still be continued to be undertaken by DPW due to the repercussions if there's wrong installations, etc. So that is all articulated in the policy. We will insert, it is as an insertion to this document, but we will put that through further so you have detailed clarity on that. I just wanted to indicate that and also to thank the committee. I think there's a lot of good work that came from the oversight visits where we managed to collaborate and add value to the process, as well as, like we indicated now, to increase the delegation to 100,000. So thank you for that.
Comrade Jefferson, it's something different. When you go to close the meeting, I want to say something. Oh, you know, thank you very much, Comrade Jefferson. I just raised this issue because about 15 years to 16 years I'm talking about affirmative action. And if I'm looking at my beautiful uniform, this other group, they're not there. So-called Indians and colored. Those problems, they're there. And if you look, it's like if certain group get higher position, is appointing his group. If another group, you don't have one of them, not have a big position, high position, it's a problem. That, Comrade Chair, we are talking about affirmative action and gender equality. But so-called color, I want many prisons in South Africa where you get some other prison, so-called colored and Indians outside there, but in higher ranking, certain group alone. Truly speaking, it's like those days of apartheid. Because if you are a certain group, somebody don't even want to see you. But I think also, I think they must correct this. It's not right. I just want to raise that kind of problem, because we were fighting for apartheid, we were fighting for discrimination. Now we must also look now, see this so-called minority group, we must look into also that kind of problem. So I'm going to raise this thing and raise again. And I remember one day, it was painful. Somebody can take, I'm like a madman. I don't worry. In Western Cape, they were take some other group somewhere to be a commissioner. I'm not saying some people, they mustn't be a commissioner, a certain group from somewhere. But also I say, also you must look some other people. Was it just do those kind of things? Now I'm saying, Chairperson, the department must look this thing into. We are looking a woman there to be there. We are looking some other group there. Maybe we are four groups in South Africa. But if you look our uniform, there is only two groups. Where is another two groups? I just find out there, Chairperson, also the leadership of department, they must look into. Thanks very much.
Anybody else wishes to make a comment?
Just to say that the operations, these people, of course, us, the departments, are members, officials, with regards to the PPPs, it's clear that they execute policy as officials. And I think the PPP's decision is a government policy decision, which we correctly actually parked to listen from the minister as to why they are still following that route. So sometimes it is fair to criticize the department officials for things which is in their ambit of responsibility, and sometimes they just execute instructions. So in that case, I appreciate the fact that we park that issue so that the minister can tell us as to why they proceed with something that this committee is objecting to.
Thank you, Ivan. Okay, thank you very much to our colleagues from the department and from Public Works. Again, there are a few things that we've asked you guys to provide us either before Wednesday or on Wednesday, and please, DPW, we really want at least one of you to be there so that we have an intelligent discussion around the preparation or the understanding of the PPP modality, which we will further interrogate when the minister is there. So if you guys could send somebody, Cindy will notify you guys about the venue and the time. We don't know who you're going to bring. And Maurice, if you could just give us an indication of who is the relevant person from Treasury, we'll also invite that person, just so that we have a clear understanding at this level, so that when we take it from the minister, at least we have a clear understanding of what is going on. We see you then on Wednesday, and until then, good luck. If there's any reminders that have come out of this meeting, I'm sure Cindy will, through Mamelo, get them to yourselves. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. And to our friends from the media and everywhere else, thank you very much.